B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're Boston's number one.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome to the program, Felger and Maserati, on a Wednesday, September 22nd. We're live from our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester. We're brought to you by DraftKings on the FM dial, 98.5, the Sports Hub. And we're brought to you by DraftKings on the simulcast, where we beam across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us anytime on the app, 98.5thesportshub.com, the live stream, the replays, all of that as well. That's how you get us. And so we're going to start today talking about Tom Brady and Tom Brady Sr. What did you think we were going to start today talking with?
Oh, no, that.
So that's where we're going to start. Jimmy, is your computer fired up? Can we hear a cut one from Tom Brady Sr. on with Tom Curran last night, NBC Sports Boston, the podcast, and Quick Slants? Go ahead, please.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year, he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right.
And there's just so much goodness there. There's just
it's unbelievable.
There's just so much that's so good.
To be fair,
right.
He is adding touchdowns. It wasn't 56. I believe it was 50.
Well, no, so that's just one of it. He uses some Felger and Maz math in there. I don't know how he got to 56. I don't care.
Yeah, but it's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter that it was 50 or 56 or 41. It does not matter.
Might as well be 56.
It's better that he said 56. He's adding touchdowns. I don't care where he got them from. He got them from somewhere, even if it's just his head. So there's one. That's one beautiful thing about that statement. What else is beautiful about that statement?
Okay. Damn rights.
So I'll tell you what.
Yeah, so the plural of rights is weird, and everyone's talking about it, so we don't need to belabor it, but I don't know if that's how the kids talk in San Mateo.
We've had it wrong for years. It's damn rights.
Well, whatever. So that's like just a little nuance to the comment.
So here is my takeaway after listening to it. Okay, my takeaway is this, that over the last, call it 5 years, we have played up the palace cue. We've made it sound dramatic, cutthroat, face-to-face, all of it, the whole nine yards. And you know what? I think we undersold it. I do. I think we undersold it. I think Brady is so freaking bitter, and it comes through in his old man's voice. And so I heard this and went, wow. Again, this guy just goes right after it. Damn right. Damn right.
Damn right.
I mean, he could easily tone this thing down a little.
No, if anything, he's ramped it up.
Oh, he totally has.
So good.
He totally has. It tells me that the emotions and the feelings are stronger than we thought, and they're still raw.
Yeah. So maybe we underplayed it, but if nothing else, the hate, the spite, the anger, it's all real. It is all real, and it just leads me to believe that, again, something is going to come in this Seth Wickersham book in a couple of weeks that really set them off. Because it goes to show you, like, last year, Brady leaving and winning a Super Bowl 1 year removed from Bill Belichick and the Patriots should be enough. I think that would be enough for most people, but it goes to show you something else is going on here. Something else is really bothering him because, like you said, like the dad could have downplayed this thing and he didn't.
Agreed 1,000%, Murray. Agreed 1,000%. It's so easy for Brady to take the high road here. Make no mistake, he's taking the low road. He's not high roading this thing.
No, he's getting definitely in the dirt.
And I don't care, you know, how much bullcrap Brady gives us next week when he starts to talk about it or what platitudes he throws to Belichick and the Patriots. He unleashed the old man. He gave the green light to the old man to do his bidding. And there's no getting out of that. There is no saying, well, you can't control what your father says. Of course your father says that. That is so lame to let Brady off the hook like that. He easily could have said, Pops, we're going to go radio silent this week. And he's done it before in the past. He didn't do it this time. He hasn't done it for the last couple months. So Brady is more than happy for a senior to talk on his behalf, and that's exactly how Tom Brady feels. So he is not allowed to get out of that, and you're not allowed to say, well, every father would defend his kid. Lame, bad take, and it doesn't speak to the whole thing. The kid let him talk, and the kid probably wants him to talk because the kid himself is non-confrontational and passive-aggressive when it comes to this stuff. Tom Sr., not so much. So make no mistake, they're taking the low road, or if it's not quite the low road, it ain't the high road. So why? And I firmly agree with Murray and believe it's not just proving Belichick wrong. They proved him wrong winning that Super Bowl. They easily could have just let the scoreboard and the facts speak for themselves. And it's the perfect spot to do it because they proved it on the field, they being the Bradys. No. There's been something, a development. And again, we're just deferring. We think it's the book, something in the book. But maybe it's even something else. I don't know. Something crawled up their ass, which led them to dig in. Something happened this offseason that led them away from the high road. Let me put it to you like that. Something took them off the high road this offseason. Give me the second cut if you could, Jimmy, please.
Tommy is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that happened during his New England career, and he's more than happy that he's moved on, because it was pretty obvious that the Patriot regime felt that it was time for him to move on. And frankly, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
Again, so much goodness there. You know, calling Belichick out by name. And maybe this is one of the things that they're pushing back against, that maybe in the Wickersham book or elsewhere, that the Patriots are trying to portray it that Brady left. We wanted to keep him, but he left. And I think the Patriots want that narrative, that it was mutual or it was time or Brady had a foot out the door too. And so I think Brady Sr. made it clear here a couple times in that first cut. Belichick didn't want him, and Tommy threw 56 touchdown passes. And right there, when, you know, Brady's more than thrilled to be gone, because it was pretty clear the Patriots regime wasn't interested in keeping him around. So maybe this is something they're pushing back at as well.
Definitely. And again, I think even the use of the word regime, like just that, whenever you hear that, that is sort of a, you know, you fancy yourself as this dark power, you know, this regime. It's just cold. It's, you know,
it's ominous.
Yeah, it's also anti, you know, human. Like it's sort
it's
of
cold,
this,
bloodless.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Bloodless is the word, Murray. That's exactly the word. You know, we talk about the Stalin regime, for crying out loud. I'm not kidding.
No, I know. It's a good way to put it.
I think the word the regime tells you plenty about how they feel about it. And so look, and I get it. I mean, I think Bill brought a lot of this on himself. But I did say to you, I think in the email, at some point, like they, and I'm not saying we're there yet, but at some point it does become like piling on. It's like, okay, already we get it.
Well, discuss further. What do you mean?
Well, so I just think that Brady's won. He's won. I think it's over. Barring Bill, you know, picking himself up off the ground and winning another championship without Brady. It's over. I think Brady's one hands down. I don't think he has to win anymore.
And I would agree. And this is what surprises me. It goes to show you, if nothing else, that he is putting a lot of importance on this game. And he has already won. The Super Bowl, I think, is vindication enough. But there's real importance on this game for Tom Brady.
Okay, well, but Maz is talking about something else. You're saying if he pushes anymore, he's going to start looking bad.
Yeah, I think it does get to the point where eventually it's like, okay, already let it go. Like, we get it. We get it. And so I'm not telling you I'm there yet.
So this is what I think, Mess. I think they would have. But I think something has triggered them this offseason.
I'm eager to see what's in that book.
To go back at it. And you know what? Let me tell you something. I heard Bert today on with Beadle and Zoe, and we'll play a cut of his about, you know, Bert has a book. He's read the book, and he discusses some things that are in it that may have upset the Bradys. Just the little stuff that seeped through about that book, I don't know if there's any bombshell revelations. I don't think there are. But it doesn't take that to trigger someone. I mean, you get triggered on something small that just is important to you, but probably, you know, a lot of people won't notice. But maybe there's just a little detail in that book, or there's just a little something that they heard, as simple as Seth calls them to follow up on something that he heard, and it was, again, not a bombshell, but it was like, oh, really? They told you that? And we may not even notice it. I mean, I think I will, because we followed it so closely, and we will. But it could be something small.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if it wasn't for something that happened this offseason, they would let it go, because they did prove it, right? They did prove it.
Definitely.
So why are they digging back in? Why are they not taking the high road?
Because, look, again, I'm eager to find out specifically what it was, whether it was in the book or something else, because there was probably something there. You only react that way when you feel you have been smeared or wronged.
Exactly.
Because, again, this thing is like, how many times is Brady's father going to talk for him? Why is it that the quarterbacks in this town all need their fathers to talk for them, whether it's Cam Newton or Brady, which is a total separate thing? But even so, like, this is when you feel like you've been smeared, then you want to come out and say, oh, really? Really? Because something struck a nerve.
And maybe it's as simple as, look, I think there's things that struck a nerve in the book, but maybe it's also the thing that Bill never publicly congratulated Brady for his accomplishment, or the Patriots never publicly, you know, congratulated Brady for the accomplishment. I mean, we know that went across their ass, because we know Gasper knows that Bill didn't call Brady after the Super Bowl, and we know that Gasper asked Bill about it, and Bill gave him the hat, the high hat on that one. And it's like, maybe it's just as simple as that. Like, Bill, are you going to let this go? Oh, you're not going to let it go? Okay. We look forward to coming up there and kicking your ass, being 4-0 and winning another Super Bowl. What was your record again last year? And damn rights, we feel vindicated. You bet we do. You bet we feel vindicated. And directly calling out Belichick on that, I think, is another little piece to it. Oh, you're going to tell people that Tommy wanted to leave? Really? You're going to play that game? Why don't you take responsibility? You pushed him out. You didn't want. Just say it. Call it for what it is. Give Brady the credit he's due. Stop trying to glory hog all the credit for all these wins. Don't rewrite history. You wouldn't give him a contract. You didn't want him here. You pushed him out the door. Just admit it. And admit, you know, kiss the ring a little bit. Acknowledge the greatness. You can say congratulations, Tommy. You worked together for 20-plus years. You didn't say a word. You didn't call him. You haven't texted him. You haven't said anything publicly. Bills has not yet said anything publicly about Tom winning a Super Bowl.
Can't bring himself to do it.
Maybe
that's... He can't. And look, but I think that part of it sort of has always been there with Bill. I just think that, you know, Bill can't bring himself to admit that somebody might be bigger in the operation than him, other than the owner.
And maybe that's just crawled up their ass. It's like, all right, if you won't do it now, you won't ever do it. Screw you. We're going to kick your ass.
But it could be that simple. He's just looking for a thank you and an attaboy, and it's just never going to come.
Gratitude.
Yeah.
All right, folks, what do you think? Your reaction to Tom Sr., 617-779-0985. To you right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You got any more Patriots paraphernalia in that house behind you in San Mateo?
I'm not sure. Let's see, there might be something. I think I might have a license plate that says something like 6 Super Bowls, but other than that, I think pretty much the rest of it has been given to Goodwill or Catholic Charities or something.
Even that one, huh, Murray?
Oh, that was one. I heard Jones cackling about this with Arcan on my ride home. He couldn't get rid of the Patriots paraphernalia fast enough. I gave all that crap to Goodwill. I hung on to one of the stupid license plates. Oh, man, that's cold.
Seriously. Yeah. All right, so your reaction to that, I have buried the lead as well. We're giving away Patriots tickets today. Not to the Brady game. That's next week when the ticket weasel comes back up next week. This week, today, we're giving away Saints tickets.
Right? That's right.
Is it right around 3:30, Jim?
Yes, 3:30 is the goal time.
3:30, we're giving away Patriots Saints tickets and today's promotion. Well, Murray has put something in front of me.
Well, don't read it yet. I mean, the Ticket Weasel does return today, Mike, with a new game to give away tickets to see the Patriots take on, like you said, the Saints this Sunday at Gillette Stadium. And the game is called Who Dat to Win Dat. Hit it, Jimmy.
To win. Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they're going to win them ticks?
Right. So, for those that don't know, for years, the Saints fans have a chant that you can hear ring out at the Superdome that goes, who dat, who dat, who dat say they're going to beat them Saints. So based on that dumb chant, what we're going to have you do, the listener has to get through at 3:30, like Jimmy Stewart said, on our contest line and chant the following. You guys have it in front of you. Ready?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Who dat say they
want to
win them ticks?
Maz was able to do it. See, Mike wouldn't have won those tickets.
No
you
shot.
Would have won, Maz.
No shot.
Can we get it in unison maybe, huh?
Yeah, no. We'll try it again.
Yeah.
Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they want to win them ticks? Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they want to win them ticks?
Maz wants those ticks.
Yeah,
Mike doesn't.
I do.
Can we get one out of you, Mike, huh?
That's just, it's too fun.
I do it.
I'm not going to do this
so
fun sort of stuff. It is so uncomfortable. This is all because I suggested a dumb ticket giveaway a couple years ago, and so now we just do one dumber thing after the next.
That's right. It's a
Who
radio.
Dat? Who dat?
And as you know, it's a radio staple to use alliteration with these dumb contests. So again, it's who dat to win dat. So 3:30, you got to be the first one through and chant just like Maz did. Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they want to win them ticks?
Got it. Love it. You want me to do it again, Mark?
No. One more time, Maz.
Okay. Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they want to win them ticks?
That's all you got to do. First one through contest line 3:30. You do that just like Maz. You do that with the who dat, and you'll win that.
Okay. Good luck out there.
You got that?
Can we get back to not having fun now and just do the show?
Sure.
Dave in Plymouth, lead us off. Go ahead, Dave.
So I think this goes back, Mike, to when, you know, Tom wanted Guerrero, you know, on the sideline, the whole TB12. When Tom started to assert himself like that, I think that that just started to rub Belichick the wrong way. But I think what really set everything off was when Kraft told Belichick, you're trading Garoppolo. We're keeping Brady.
Hold on. You just said it was a TB12 thing. Yeah, pick one. The TB12 thing may have started it, but that was an easy hurdle to conquer, and they ultimately did. You know, let him back on the plane, let him back on the sidelines, reach some sort of detente with players going to your trainer and, you know, the team trainers. And I think it started it. Like, that was one of the first pressure points in the breakup, for sure. But I think they got through it and could have gotten through it. So, ultimately, no. What was the second thing that he said? Again,
keep it to one thing.
So, look, I mean, when you say that it started and then you gave me another something, I forgot even what the second one was. Here's John in Foxborough. He's up next. Go ahead, John.
Good afternoon, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
Great topics today. Listen, one thing I noticed last night, and it was great to see Tommy Kearns out of that Hawaiian shirt that I saw him in so many times last week. But Tom Brady Sr., you know, if he hadn't been wearing the sunglasses, we may have been able to see some of the anger and the hate in his face.
Oh, you don't think you don't think we saw enough anger and hate coming out of him and his camp, and you haven't seen that for the last couple months?
Oh, I think we got plenty of that. I think that part is clear. It never hurts to see someone's expressions because it does give you tone and everything else. But I think there was plenty of tone in this.
What more did you need to see from that to know where they're coming from?
You don't.
I mean, come on. The week, just before the week of the game, he's coming out and publicly calling out Bill Belichick. Well, what more do you need to know than that?
You don't.
Do you know what that, I mean, how rare that is in sports, period, but especially in this one? And especially the way Tom Brady handles himself and the way Belichick handles himself, where you never give the opponent anything and you never say anything like that. You never, you know, you ignore the noise. You don't create noise. And here we are with the biggest, highest pressured game in maybe NFL history in the regular season, with Tom Brady releasing his old man to provoke the opponent and the coach, the greatest coach of all time. I don't need to see his eyes. Hey, listen to his words. It's obvious what's going on there.
And when you talk about it that way, too, it really is spitting in Belichick's face about the whole methods. you know, the ignore the noise. Okay, you want to ignore the noise? Okay, here you go. The week before the game, I'm going to go on Instagram and put a photo of me and Bruce Arians basically squeezing each other's butt cheeks and saying how much we love each other. And then I'm going to let my old man go on Tom Curran's podcast and completely poke you right in the eye. How about that?
I mean, come on. You can wear sunglasses. I don't need to know what's behind those glasses. I already know. John in Groveland, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how much respect you guys have for Wickersham, to what degree you're going to listen to what his book says.
Oh, that's right. ESPN lies. Let us not forget, John. Is that where you're going with this?
He nailed his story. Was go ahead.
But to what degree that no one is perfect, no one is Satan, and that there are two sides to every story?
Yeah, well, Wickersham gives us Bill's story, really. I mean,
So you don't have respect for Wickersham?
Oh, no, I absolutely do. I just think okay. I think he's more on the Bill. I think more of his sourcing comes from the Bill side than the other side.
Why do you say that?
Just because the way the piece reads there, Guy. I mean, go back and read it.
So you've read it?
I got it in front of me, you a-hole. I'm looking at it. I've read it 10 times and I have it in front of me again. Go read it. For Kraft and Brady, shut up. For Kraft and Brady and Belichick, is this the beginning of the end? January 4th, 2018. It's online. Google it. It'll come right up. So why don't you read it and then call me back? You want to talk about it? We can do a little book report. No problem. Or you can just do your crybaby thing. Like Murray said, Wicker scam and ESPN lies. Read the story. Go ahead and you tell me. You tell me after you read it. As I've read it multiple times and I got it back here again, pal. It's a Brady hit piece. It's a hit piece. It goes all into it, tears Guerrero apart. It blames Brady for getting his teammates hurt. It basically admits that Brady was guilty of Deflategate. The team knew it, but they had to distance themselves from it. Go ahead and read it. And then you tell me who you think Wickersham is getting it from, which doesn't make it wrong. It just means he's getting it from one side or the other. I don't know. That guy pissed me off.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, me too.
I thought he meant, have you read the book? I didn't think he.
No,
meant...
I haven't read the book.
No, you
it's
knew
not
he,
out.
You knew what he was getting at as soon as he got.
No. He was a dink. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying what the last comment.
How am I supposed to read the book? We can't get one.
I agree.
I'll be the first to be here with highlighters, pal.
I'm just the messenger,
giving you the excerpts. Oh, believe you me, this ain't Tom Verducci, some boring baseball book. I'm expected to read and speed read in 24 hours some boring baseball topic.
I like that book.
Some douchebag BBWAA writer. No.
Careful.
These are the goods. These are the goods. More on this. More on Wickersham. I'll give you more on Wickersham, pal, if you want it, after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
These last 2 years have been very challenging for him in so many ways. And I think he just wants, you know, he tells me, I love it so much and I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
So it's from Brady's Tom versus Time thing, a Facebook special at the end of the 2017 season. I'll start reliving all this stuff over the next week and a half. There were so many signs at the time that we read into every one of them on this show anyway. And you know what, folks? Maybe this is directed at that last caller who did, of course, triggered me. We were right. It's all right. It was all true. And in fact, as Maz said to lead off the show, we may have underestimated it. We may have underestimated it.
Making it up.
No, I think the level of hostility there, I would say that, you know, I would look at this whole thing as being like a bad divorce. That's how I would look at it.
And why I think the book might have been another trigger for the Bradys is because the big Wickersham story on ESPN a couple of years ago was such a Brady hit piece. I think you forget, you know, I mean, he detailed the palace, what we call the palace queue. But it really, Brady and his side came off much worse than Belichick, much worse. Let me just give you a few examples. Like, they go right after Guerrero, Wickersham does. You know, bringing up his past, the controversial methods. In 2005, he had to settle a judgment with the FTC to settle allegations he had claimed dietary supplements could cure cancer. That was the Supreme Green. So he goes into all that stuff. And then he writes about the TB12 method. At the time, he says, while it helped some players, it felt like a cult to others, one Patriot staffer says. So he's got Patriot staffers, people on Belichick's staff, telling him this TB12 thing is like a cult. The way TB12 began to creep into Brady's life worried people close to the quarterback, many of whom were suspicious of Guerrero. Quote, Tom changed, said a friend of Brady's. That's where a lot of these problems started. So, like, immediately they're throwing Guerrero under the bus. Guerrero gets hammered in this thing. Wickersham wrote that Brady and Guerrero's training beliefs introduce an unspoken pressure in the building, with players wondering where they should work out. New players felt the surest way to earn Brady's trust was to join Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, and others in seeking advice from Guerrero at his TB12 clinic and not team doctors.
And this is ultimately why Belichick stepped in, but go ahead.
One player visited TB12 under what he perceived as pressure and declined, pressure from Brady, and declined to allow Guerrero to massage his injured legs. Instead, he asked to keep treatment limited to only his arm out of fear that one of Guerrero's famous deep force muscle treatments would set back his recovery. So think of that. Think of what Seth is saying here, that Brady had sort of Guerrero had gotten his hooks into Brady as almost like a cult leader that became culty to the point where Brady was sort of coercing teammates into going out there. And certain teammates felt that if they didn't go out there and get treatment from Guerrero, Brady wouldn't throw him the ball.
Yeah, and if Alex gets his hands on me, he's going to end up injuring me further.
And not just that. So guys that didn't want to be treated by him would say, well, I got to go out there or else Tom's going to shut me out. So I'll go out there, but I'm not going to let him work on my injury. I'll let him work on something else. But just to keep up the appearance and to let Tom know that I'm being treated by his trainer, I'll go out there and let him rub something else. But yeah, he's not rubbing my injury. I don't want him to do it. I want the team doctor. And all this mess was going on behind the scenes.
I remember all of this, too. In fact, wasn't there a specific receiver?
Brandon Cooks, I believe.
That's what I was just going to say that, Murray. I was just going to say the same thing. But go ahead.
So look, I mean, if this is what happened in the Wickersham story, what's going to come out in the Wickersham book? And do the Bradys have their backup because Wickersham went after him? And I think Wickersham's good with Brady, too. Like, he's good with both sides. But I think Bill gives him good material. Or Bill's side does. Because
someone close to Bill.
There's some juice in there. Then there was this whole thing about Brady accepting criticism. You know, Wickersham writes that Brady always knew the hits were coming from Belichick during Monday film sessions. For example, the quarterback at Foxborough High could make that throw, Belichick often would say after replaying a Brady misfire. But Brady could take it in the past. Wickersham wrote that Brady is less fine with it this year, and that being 2017 into 18. People close to him believe that it started after last year's playoff win over the Houston Texans. Belichick lit into Brady in front of the entire team in a way nobody had ever seen, ripping Brady for carelessness with the ball. This will get us beat, he told the team after replaying a Brady interception. We're lucky to get away with the win.
Was that the game? Well, that was the game where Houston did a good job against a pass game that game.
So when Brady said the other day to Jim Gray this, do you have it, Jimmy?
Well, there you have it. Short and concise, to the point. What do you think of that, Tommy?
Yeah, I've always appreciated the encouraging words of Coach Belichick.
That was sarcasm. That was complete sarcasm.
I think so, too.
Because
you could tell by the way he said it. You could almost see, the grin as he said it.
As Wickersham detailed in this, Bill tore him a new one regularly, and Brady grew to resent it. He became less fine with it.
Well, can I go further with that response?
Let me just give you one more. The story, even as I mentioned to the caller before, blame Brady for getting players hurt. The criticism has continued this year from Belichick, writes the story. Atypically, he has missed a lot of practices, and in the team's private evaluations, is showing the slippage of a 40-year-old quarterback. Whoops. On one fourth down play against the Chargers, for instance, Brady had a clean pocket and a first read open deep, possibly for a touchdown, but Brady got rid of the ball quickly over the middle to receiver Chris Hogan, who had nowhere to run and was hit hard, injuring his shoulder. Hogan missed all but one game the rest of the season. Quote, Tom was trying to get it out quick, a Patriots staffer says. As fragility has increased, nervousness has also increased. Quote, end quote, from the Patriots staffer. So
they bashed him pretty good in that story. I remember that.
It was a hit piece. And so now Wickersham's got a whole book? What's in this? I'm sorry, Murray, so you wanted to say something?
Yeah, so that response, this whole, I got a conspiracy theory with what Bill said to EEI and this whole Brady response with Jim Gray. So Jimmy's phone, as we know here on the show, has alluded to PED allegations coming in this Wickersham book. Bill said in that interview, oh, Tom knows his body. Tom knows his body. Brady's clearly pissed at what he heard when Jim Gray played it for him. The Brady camp has been pissed for months, so maybe Bill wasn't playing nice, and that was an innocuous answer that he said just a couple of days ago. It was another subtle F you. Oh, Tom knows his body. You'll find out more about this when you read the book. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I don't think that what Bill said was just like him trying to play nice. I really don't.
No, I don't either. I think they were both being a little sarcastic and not a little. They were both being sarcastic and snarky.
I mentioned this yesterday.
Yeah, they both were.
I said if it were any other coach, you just take that comment on the face of it, which is, of course, if anyone know how to play to that age, it's him because he's done so much at such a late age. Any other coach saying that about any other player, we just say, yeah, that was a platitude. No. I think there was an undercurrent there.
Definitely. And again, as you read that story, too, the Guerrero role in this, I would say, is more of Guerrero as a vehicle than anything else. Because what Guerrero did, he was a way for Brady to challenge Belichick's authority, which is Tom was now getting control over his own care, let alone the care of other players. It was affecting Bill's control over the locker room and his staff. And so it became a problem. And to Bill, is there a bigger sin than taking away Bill's power or his leverage?
I think Wickersham has it right. I think he accurately portrays this. I don't blame Bill for getting agitated. I think it makes the Brady camp look bad. And I think there may be more of this coming in the book, and it's why the Brady camp is pissed. Let me give you just one more. Deflategate.
This was a big one, too. It's those two things, really.
Deflategate. Seth slipped this in at the end of his story. He writes that Robert Kraft stood by Brady during Deflategate, even after he backed down and accepted the NFL's penalty. Kraft did so, even though many staffers in the building believed there was merit in the allegation. Okay, so Wickersham has staffers saying, yeah, he did it. And he wrote it. Kraft did so, even though many staffers in the building believed there was merit in the allegation, however absurd the case. The team quietly parted ways with both John Jastrzemski and Jim McNally. Ooh, I miss saying those names. The equipment staffers accused of deflating footballs. They've never spoken publicly since. And Belichick reorganized the equipment staff. Kraft has privately told associates he knew that he went too far in his attacks against the league. Quote, I had to do it for the fans, he has told confidants. So the team distances himself from Deflategate. Bill's staff members tell Seth Wickersham, yeah, we know he did it. I mean, the whole thing's ridiculous, but yeah, he did it. And so that gets in the story. What's in the book? Bert Breer has the book, read the book. He gave us some further details on that earlier on in the day here. We will get to that and your calls, I promise. Also, Patriots Saints tickets. Do you know your chant? Did you memorize your chant?
Oh, yeah. Who dat? Who dat? Who dat say they want to win them ticks?
You have to repeat that to win the tickets at 3:30. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What do you want to talk about?
Like in Framingham, what?
Felger and Maz.
Hey, I love your show. I don't agree with anything you guys ever say, though.
More Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Do you find a measure of vindication for your kid?
Damn right. Belichick wanted him out the door, and last year he threw 56 touchdowns. I think that's a pretty good year.
Do you think that Tom feels the same way?
Damn right. Tommy, is extraordinarily appreciative of everything that happened during his New England career. And he's more than happy that he's moved on, because it was pretty obvious that the Patriot regime felt that it was time for him to move on. And frankly, it may well have been the perfect for Belichick to move on from him. On the other hand, I think the Tampa Bay Bucks are pretty happy that the decision was made in Foxborough that they didn't want to afford him or didn't want to keep him when his last contract came up.
So I still think those are whoppers from Tom Senior. I do. Let me just follow this up real quick. So they're taking the low road, or they're certainly not taking the high road. That's for sure.
Lower road, right.
They are taking a lower road, which I do find surprising. I would not have predicted that going into this offseason. But, you know, months ago, I started to detect a sort of a ramp up in the tensions on the Brady side. And so I've long felt that there's something set them off this offseason. I've talked about that a lot. We wonder if it's the Wickersham book. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. Bert Breer from Sports Illustrated has the book, read the book, has said there's nothing like personal in there. There's no like big whopper personal attack. But he did say if there's one thing that would sort of rub the Brady camp the wrong way, it's this. This was Bert Breer on earlier with Zolak and Bertrand today. Go ahead.
I do think like the positioning of Deflategate might like, I think it's just sort of like that's what I meant when I've said the last couple of weeks that this probably won't go over as well with Brady as it does with Belichick. Because I do think like maybe like the positioning of the Deflategate stuff.
I mean, it's
it's just like, it's just, so you know what
Mona
it is?
Lisa Vito press conference. Like this isn't that, on me.
It's continuing to distance the organization continuing to distance itself from what happened there. And like, and I think like if I'm Brady, and I totally get this point of view, and if I was Brady, it would piss me off too, that like, if you were Brady and you said, well, wait a second, like I stood by you during Spygate and that had zero to do with me. That was you guys. Right. And like, if you were that guy and you stood and you had to like take a lot of the heat for Spygate, even though it had nothing to do with you at all. And then something similar happens in the other direction, and now the team is distancing itself from you.
Yeah.
I think like you probably would be a little pissed off about that, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So if that already happened once, and if it happens again in this book, like I could see where it would open an old wound.
So there you go. And it's very simple. Makes sense. The organization once again distancing itself from Deflategate, and Brady's approach is, I stood by you during your crap. You won't stand by me during mine. 2 days ago, Tom Brady on Instagram has a picture of him and Bruce Arians standing next to each other. You got my back, I got yours.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, again, I think this is what's seeping out.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I will never forget that day during Deflategate when Belichick said point blank, Tom can speak more to the condition of the footballs. I have nothing to do with that, which was I will never forget that. I remember thinking they just dropped this right on his desk. And again, we later found emails from Brady's personal assistant who told Brady that. They just dumped this on you. And I think I know why the organization did it, because they were trying to protect Bill, because if there's another scandal, Bill's screwed. I think after the fact, I think Bill knew it. I think he knew he pissed off Tom and that they hung Tom out to dry. And that's why they had the Mona Lisa Vito press conference, because that was an attempt to say, you know, where's this coming from? And then the coach got involved a little bit.
Right.
But I think he knew by then that Brady was already pissed. And like they totally hung Brady out to dry and he knew it.
Well, are they back at it again? They did it in the Wickersham story 3 years ago. Is it going to be more in the book of that same subtle sort of thing? And does that piss Brady off? It probably should. Probably would. Okay. We have tickets to give away next hour, so don't go away on that. We were going to do an hour on other stuff, like this Ben Simmons story in the NBA. The Bruins hit training camp today. Some Red Sox stuff. You want to just continue with this Brady stuff for a little bit,
though? Hell yes.
Okay, fine. We'll take your calls right after Murray's 90-second update. Don't go anywhere. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.